This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Long-time listener,
you're listening to Talk Sports.
When will Tennessee's administration get on their knees and look to me for an answer?
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Make noise. Make more noise to your administration. It is time to rebel. I, God, have your back, Tennessee fans.
This is so uncomfortable.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
God, why are you calling this show?
Because I care. You're good people.
Thank you, God. All these media people keep acting like we're the devil. You know the devil. We're not him.
They're all in Gainesville. Anyway, thanks for the time today. Love the show. Again, longtime listener.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
John Curry is an atheist.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
Probably the best thing I saw over the weekend was Kansas football inviting their fans. Hey, no tickets, no money, doesn't matter. Come support us because we're at a ball game. How about it? The Jayhawks pretty much announced when they were up 10-0 at halftime over the Sooners.
And by the time everyone got there, they had blown the lead.
Pretty much, yeah. But they did announce... if you're in town, come on down. That's what the radio announcers are saying. They're pretty much no more tickets required. You can just get into the game. Scot-free. Needed the support, but like you said, tough.
How would you feel if you were at the game and you paid for the tickets?
I'd want my money back, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I was wondering about that. Like, would you be happy that other people...
Then again, how much are they paying for these tickets? $10?
Sure,
bucks.
But you're loyal and now you got these bandwagon. It feels like the bandwagon for a one-win team.
I mean, that didn't even win.
I mean, I think if you're Kansas, it's obviously the smart move because you wanted to, A, try to get some type of home field advantage, but B, you also want to like get people there and hope that like they have a good time and like want to become fans.
Right.
And then, like I said, they get there. And
it was still tough, though, man, on that fourth.
That fourth down.
Oh, I was going to say, that's brutal. You had them stopped.
Did you see the fourth down, Hayden? Running back gets stopped on fourth down, then the quarterback runs and takes the ball from him and gets it and runs.
That was a heads-up play.
It was a great play by the quarterback. I mean, that's...
So, it's not a... If you hand it to the player, it's not a forward pass no matter what, because the quarterback was in front of him.
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong on that one, but it looked like the quarterback...
It doesn't matter.
As long as it's a handoff, not like a forward lateral.
Well, yeah, it also has to be behind the line of scrimmage, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, you're right, yeah.
The player can have never gone into, like, forward... Past the line of scrimmage, basically. So as long as both guys have always been behind the line.
That was my only thing. I was like, yeah, that's a little iffy. But I figured just because it was a handoff, they wouldn't call that.
Of course, Tennessee fans were like, where's the Ford Progress at here? Like, you called the Ford Progress against Ole Miss. Like, this guy was stopped way longer than Matt Corral was, and he was able to still make a play.
Crazy, though. What was crazier, the Kansas was in that game, or that they just let any student come to the game?
That was
like,
kind of wild.
You on campus, come by.
At first, like I saw at halftime, they had sent it out to the students. I did see that. Like, they're like, hey, your student ticket still works, guys. Game's closed. Come on, we need you.
Yeah.
And then, by the third quarter, it's like, everybody, if you're in town, get down to the stadium.
Pretty cool moment, though. At least Kansas, they got to be proud of it. I mean, just being able to compete in that game has got to feel pretty good. Of course, still end up losing by two scores, but either way.
I mean, I do think that Lance Leopold's a good coach, and I do think Kansas will at least be less embarrassing down the road.
What does that even mean? Just three or four wins?
Yeah, no, it
not
does.
Not going winless, no, essentially.
Yeah, no, it 100% does just not. It doesn't mean much at all. Like, yeah, you are right about that, but I'm just saying that's a step forward. That's a step forward for, you know, what they do there usually.
Absolutely. Moving back to the NFL injury update. Zach Wilson, quarterback. Rough go over for the Jets, man. You kind of feel bad for Wilson, too. I mean, he's just out there getting beat up.
He got hurt, right?
Yeah, he has a sprained PCL and is expected to be sidelined 2 to 4 weeks. My opinion, maybe just for the best. We'll see if the Jets maybe pick up a quarterback. Their backup, Mike White, was also a rookie who had zero playing time coming into that game against New England. Held up okay, but of course, kind of fell apart towards the end. Ended up being a pretty ugly blowout. But
that was really, really bad.
Yeah, it was
Bill Belichick hates the Jets.
He was running up the score. Yeah. To see him throw it at the end of the game with Brian Hoyer, throwing a pass to the goal line instead of just running the clock out.
He hates them, and I think he likes beating the hell out
he
of them.
He does. He likes just beating up on them.
Yep.
Poor Jets, man.
He wouldn't have done that to any other team.
No, probably not. Another quarterback situation kind of messy is the 49ers. We talked a little bit about it. Garoppolo looked rough last night and got asked if Garoppolo will start versus the Bears next week. And Shanahan said, I would guess so. Probably the least confident response you heard when getting asked about starting quarterback. I would guess so, he said. We had two quarterbacks hurting this week, he said, and Jimmy was able to come back and play. He said, we'll see if Trey Lance can next week. We're still not sure yet, but I got a lot of things to figure out. Sounds like he's leaning towards Trey Lance, right? Just based on those comments.
He's leaning towards, he doesn't know what the hell to do.
Both of them terrible.
Just kind of like, I ain't got no answers here.
At this point. Man, it really is crazy. Niners, they were the favorite, right? In the NFC West, the beginning of the season. Didn't we talk about that? They were the favorite to win the division, and 2-4 now. A lot of quarterback issues.
Did we all sell on the 49ers, or did you guys like the 49ers?
I didn't really. I said they'd be a borderline playoff team.
You guys picked Seattle to win the division, right?
I did, which isn't looking great either.
I didn't do picks, but I would have picked the Rams. And I probably would have picked the Seattle second. And then
I just remember us being low on like their quarterback. I couldn't remember if Cam liked him or not. I didn't know.
I was low on the Cardinals. I didn't think they would do anything. I mean, yeah, I didn't either. Obviously, we didn't pick them in our
top 24 team somehow.
Kind of bad.
Whoops.
Yep. Who do you think should start for the Niners? Trey Lance? You just give it to the rookie? Is Garoppolo just done at this point?
I don't think it's Trey Lance's fault. Or I don't think it's Jimmy Garoppolo's fault. And I don't think Trey Lance is very good either, so.
Garoppolo's kind of brutal, too, last night. We'll go to the NBA. How about VFL Grant? Shout out. Let's give him a round of applause. He hit 5 threes last night, John.
He has.
He was like 5 of 7 from downtown.
And then against
18 points.
Against the opening night against the Knicks, he hit 3 in that fourth quarter.
Grant's got a shot.
He has to have a shot to be effective in the NBA. And it does seem like he has put the work in. Now, last year he got off to a good shooting start as well before kind of crashing back down to earth. But right now looking pretty good with the shot. So far on the year, I mean, he is, what, 9 of 13? I don't think that's sustainable. 9 of 13 ain't going to be sustainable.
No, but still a hell of a start, though.
If he could turn himself into a 36-37% shooter that has to be guarded on those open corner threes, then he will be a big asset for the Celtics.
Mm. Talked about it. This is the biggest issue with the guy. And, I mean, he started first game, right? Then he started against the Knicks.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he came off the bench in this game, but still getting decent minutes, knocking down some threes.
Yeah,
you love to see it.
I'd imagine. I mean, if he keeps shooting this way, maybe not, but he'll be backing up Horford. So Horford was out the first game. That's why he started.
I feel like he'd be better than Horford, to be honest. I don't know. Maybe Horford's still got some left in the tank. 37 years old. I don't know about it. We'll stay in the NBA. Lakers, any concerns with this kind of start they've had to the season? You had, what, Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard yelling at each other, going at each other on the side. They kind of cleared it up, said no big deal, whatever. But now you have LeBron getting a little banged up last night against the Grizzlies. They found a way to get a close win. John Morant kind of choking on the free throws there at the end of the game. But Lakers found a way to get a win. Still, a little bit of concerns there, and Russ has still been pretty much terrible. I saw a stat. The Lakers, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis are combined 1 of 13 from 3 to start the season.
That's been maybe the most, I guess, damning thing about how the bubble was kind of a fake championship is, like, Anthony Davis, like, legitimately morphed into a good shooter in the bubble, but outside of the bubble, he's been pretty bad.
Yeah.
He's like a 30% three-point shooter.
It seems like he tries to shoot too many, too. He's so dominant down low.
Yeah.
Just get to the rim, man.
He wants to be able to space just get to the rim. But he can't shoot, and him and Westbrook does seem to be a spacing disaster. If you ask if I'm worried, I mean, yeah, like they have to fix some things, but got a win last night. Carmelo caught fire, had Staples Center rocking. That was a really good, fun game between
points.
Them and the Grizzlies as Ja Morant was balling as well. That was a good one. The Grizzlies looked pretty good, and the Lakers, they look like they're going to have to make some moves or just work out their rotation. I think that maybe that's the biggest thing is they have to figure out who's going to play together and when, but...
Melo did pass Moses Malone for ninth on all NBA all-time scoring list as well.
Now the number nine, top 10, top nine all-time scorer in the NBA, which is kind of wild. Kind of wild, especially when, I mean, LeBron also in that same draft class in the top nine as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Yep, and year 19, Melo's still rocking and rolling.
As far as your first question about the Anthony Davis Dwight Howard fight. What did that even start over? I just saw the video and like after Magic Johnson's tweet, like what even happened?
I don't even know if they even kind of cleared it up too much. I just know they said there was no big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal. Like, I mean, I think it's could even be a good sign that they're just fired up and focused and not going through the motions. If there's, you know, if they're willing to get in each other's face, it looked like, you know, Anthony Davis trying to be a leader. Now, you know, if it morphs into something, the worst you do is just tell Dwight to get packing, but I think it's okay.
I was going to say, how valuable is Dwight Howard at the end of the day? I mean, I guess he's getting a decent amount of minutes.
I got
whatever.
A headline for you.
Let's hear it.
Nashville, it city. Talked to so many Chiefs fans that told me it was their favorite city. They can't wait to come back. They love it so much that I want to come here once a year for a game, even when we're not playing. It city just got even better. You see what's coming? 2022, the biggest party of the summer, Hayden, SummerSlam. In Nissan Stadium, the WWE, their second biggest pay-per-view, coming to Nashville. It's a pretty big deal. An outdoor 60,000, probably opening up, you know, more because you've been on the field. 80,000, 70,000 people there. Bring in more people to Nashville. Big event.
You going
to
be there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say I will go, actually. I've always wanted to go to one of the big ones, and they're just always in, like, either New York City or Miami or, like, Texas.
I was
going to
say, never had it in Nashville, right?
LA.
First
no,
time
I mean,
ever?
Like, no, none of the big ones are ever nearby.
Wow.
Maybe
seems like a big deal.
Maybe when like Mercedes-Benz first opened, they got one of them, but I don't think I just wanted to. I think it might be when I lived in Ohio, maybe, or I don't know. I want to say one of them was in Atlanta. No, that would have been New Orleans. I don't know. But yeah, I'll be there. Assuming that, like, I assume, like, I'll get some type of pre-sale, like, first dibs, or at least a chance to buy tickets since I'm a Titan season ticket member. Usually we do, so. Assuming I'll have to, like, jump through all the hoops to get tickets, then I'll be there.
You still watch WWE? Black. Monday
no,
Night Raw.
I gotta really? Be at all, yes, but
like Monday Night Raw, you don't watch it like religiously.
I'll sometimes. I don't even like it's not even on my DVR right now. I'll turn over there like maybe the first 15 minutes before Monday Night Football because you know what Monday Night Football starts at 8:15.
Yeah.
So usually like at 8, I'm like okay, I'll see what's happening. I'll still sometimes check out a podcast that recaps it, but no, my interest is low. But SummerSlam's cool. It's that'll be a big one. I still watch the pay per views, I guess. Any other headlines you got?
Yeah, I could throw this in here, too. Michael Jordan, game-worn rookie sneakers, sold for a record $1.47 million.
They sold for how much money?
Sold. Yeah. Did I say sold?
Yeah. But how much
they
sold for?
Is that funny, Hayden? $1.47 million.
Seems a little low.
Game-worn sneakers.
From his rookie year, though, right?
Yeah, from his rookie season. Mm-hmm.
I mean, those would have been like the first Air Jordans as well, right? I mean, like the Air.
He was donned in his fifth game as a NBA pro, Michael Jordan, against the Nuggets.
Like I said, a little surprised it was only $1.4 million.
What were you thinking? I mean, it's just game five. It's not like game one. I feel like game one would be maybe more relevant. Maybe like a
still rookie year.
Playoff game, rookie year, maybe. I don't know.
It's from the 80s, bro. It's from
the 80s. It broke a record, okay? It's not like it was just nothing. It broke a record.
I mean, would you rather have a piece of art or...
some smelly sneakers.
But Michael Jordan's. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's a better conversation piece than some art or some NFTs. Or a damn card. Oh, look at this court, I have a Babe Ruth.
What's a conversation going to be about the sneakers? Like, he wore those.
Look at that. He wore those. He's sweating those.
I put them on. I tried them on one time.
Would you try them on?
No, like, probably not. Ruin the value, wouldn't it?
Do you get both pairs or just one of them? I know it might be a weird question, but did you get both pairs?
I think you got both pairs. I think you got both shoes. Yeah. Why would you? Why would you give him one shoe? Just give the other shoe to somebody else.
The other shoe had gone somewhere else. Yeah, like this is from 84, bro. It's old.
I know. I just think they would.
I don't know. Maybe
keep the shoes
up
together, man.
Maybe a guy got divorced.
Those guys are mates. They can't get broken up.
Maybe the guy got divorced and was just like, you know what? His wife's like, I want one of those sneakers. Half of mine, baby.
Be fair.
Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fair and Run Radio. Back on the program. How about the Atlanta Braves? How you feeling, Hayden? Your Atlanta Braves in the World Series. How do you feel?
One more.
One more? What do you mean one more?
I said four more.
Four more.
Yeah.
You nervous?
Yeah, I really am. I'm considering, like, responsibly putting a lot of money on them to win the World Series.
What is the series line right now?
I think they were plus 115.
That seems pretty fair. I mean, the Astros are the favorite, should be the favorite.
I can look right now.
They're at home as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Astros have home field. So that seems to be fair. The Astros do have some experience. I'm not up to speed on the Astros as I should be. But it does seem like the Braves have a pitching advantage here.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Especially like the starters.
Starter-wise, yeah.
I don't know the Braves bullpen's actually been really good the last 2 years. Like it's been
That was like one of the more impressive things I've seen, like the Matzik inning. That was crazy. Or I guess two innings really.
They've been much maligned the last, 2 years, but, their actual numbers are pretty good. They got some guys that make you sweat it. Luke Jackson, Will Smith, they make you sweat usually, but they are pretty reliable. The bullpen's been pretty good, so Braves have the advantage at started pitching and bullpen. Lineup, I think you'd have to go with the Astros, right? I mean, do the Braves have anybody that they can put in the DH spot that's going to, fix that discrepancy, I guess. Like, it'd be nice if Acuna could come back. I saw him working out. Just put him at DH. Just get out there and see if you can get some jacks, but they're not going to.
Yeah, it'll probably – the advantage to the Braves will be just, their outfield is not very athletic the way it is right now. Like, they're out there to hit, and they're just trying to get by fielding-wise with Jock in right field and then Duvall in center, which Duvall's not a terrible fielder, and then Rosario is the worst in left field, but he's obviously – the most important player on the team right now is the MVP of the NLCS. So they might pull one of those three out and put them at DH and then put a better defender Pache or somebody like that in center. And just
do you do that and take the hit on the
– Well, I mean, it's better than your pitcher
out,
hitting.
Though, I guess. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess yeah. so. I guess they don't really have anybody off the bench right
yeah.
now. I mean, that you
yeah.
can really put in
They're
the
already
bench,
putting right. their bench bats on the field to make an impact.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. What'd you think, Draven? You said you were going to watch. Did you watch?
I actually did watch some of it. Yeah.
I don't think Eddie Rosario is going to keep hitting 600, but hell, he might. He might. He's coming through for him.
He's good.
Did you feel at least a little happy for the Braves, Hayden?
Yeah. I have a lot of friends that are Braves fans. I mean,
did you actually feel a little happy for them, or were you like, oh, damn it, I've lost everything now?
I had lost everything yet, John. I hadn't lost everything yet. There's still... So that ring they got to get. And then, if they win that, then I've lost everything, yes. Yes. So, I mean, it does suck, the Dodgers. I was pulling with the Dodgers, but it sucks that, they lost a lot of their star power in the World Series. Muncy didn't play. Turner didn't play. Scherzer didn't play. Kershaw didn't play.
What do you mean Scherzer didn't play? Scherzer
didn't
play.
Pitch that game. I mean, he pitched other games, but not the last game.
Well, that's just because they're trying to give him another day of rest.
Well,
he would have pitched seven if they got there, right?
Maybe. I think Dave Roberts kind of screwed him. He pitched four times in eight days.
I saw a lot of people talking about Dave Roberts just kind of mismanaging this team all year, but I will say for the Braves, you're not going to like get a lot of sympathy from them when you're talking about injuries. Whenever they're maybe their best player, at least their second best player, depending on how you feel about Freeman, was out, and Max Fried.
Well, the Dodgers' best player was out.
Or not Max Fried, but Soroka.
Well, let's pump the brakes on that. He had pitched like 3 years.
He pitched last year. He tore his Achilles last year,
okay,
wasn't it?
Yeah, he pitched like one game or whatever.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think you're going to get a lot of sympathy from Braves fans. But then, like, you look at, well, Trevor Bauer. Well, Marcelo Ozuna was out for suspension, too. If we're going to, like,
I didn't mention Bauer.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about everybody has mentioned this. Like, all the national, you know, people have come together and talked about how just that, yeah, that billion-dollar Dodgers, man, they're just real shorthanded. I'm just saying, I'm not feeling bad for them. I know Max Muncy got hurt, but Ron Acuna's pretty damn good, too.
Justin Turner.
He was only out for one game. He got hurt like in game five, didn't he? Or game four?
Game four, I think.
And he sucked. He's not even good anymore.
He's our second best player this year.
Well, that's probably because everyone else sucked. Like, he's not, he shouldn't be better than Bellinger.
Yeah, I mean, Bellinger. He wasn't that best. Was probably the story of the year. Like all their typical stars, like Seager and Bellinger, just like no-showed this year. I mean, Seager was out for a long time this year.
I don't
year.
Want to talk about losers. They're losers. And now people are pointing out the Dodgers only won a World Series in a COVID-shortened season, so who knows if it even should count. It's not like they had to go to Atlanta and win, you know, Game 6 when they were down 3-2. Or I guess Game 5, depending on where the I guess it would have been in L.A., so they didn't have to go to Game 5 in Atlanta to win one. Is McCullers – Lance McCullers is out, right? He didn't pitch in the ALCS. It looks like he's going to be out for the World Series as well.
I guess.
Which that really gives the Braves, I think, a big advantage when it comes to pitching. Feels like the Braves are a live dog here, Hayden.
Yeah, the odds are Braves plus 115, Astros minus 145.
Feels like that plus 115 might be a pretty good bet. The Astros have a chance to wash away a bunch of sins, though. As does Dusty Baker.
Yeah, Lance McCullers is for sure out. Forearm injury.
You want to go down to Atlanta for a game?
Hell no. Hell no. That racist chant they're doing, I mean.
Okay, relax.
I mean, this is... Well, they got the World Series, though, and they didn't get the All-Star game, so.
That is true. Take that, MLB. You took away the All-Star game from them, but you can't take away what, games 3, 4, and 5?
Yep. Well, no guarantee on 5.
Sure. Braves might sweep. They have been pretty hot. They might just sweep. They probably should have swept the Dodgers, really. Now, maybe not. Yeah. They probably shouldn't have won game 5 or whatever. They should have won the first 4. They let game 3 just kind of get away from them. They were up, what, 3 going into the 8th?
But didn't Seager boot a ball in game 2, though?
Did he? I don't know.
I think the ball he let a ball go under his glove and kind of gave the Braves the edge.
Okay. I see some people getting pretty excited. What if you were a Braves fan, which one would you want to buy? Which seat would you want to buy? Or what game would you want to buy? 3, 4, or 5?
Three.
Probably
three.
5.
3.
You say 3?
You have the most hope. What if you're down 3-0 or something going into 4?
Yeah, it would be terrible.
Game 5 ain't guaranteed, like
what
you said,
Hayden.
What if
you're up 3-0, though, going into 4?
I know that, yeah.
No. 3 is a swing game either way, though. Either
that feels like the biggest game.
Either you're up 2-0 and you can put the hammer down, or you're down 2-0 and you can get back in the series, or it's 1-1, you can take the lead. Like, it does feel like 3 is the pivot point, but 5 could also be you could clinch. It could be 2-2, like with a chance to go up 3, you know, up you know, get on the brink of a championship.
How much do they want for those tickets down there?
I've seen people, you know, spending $500-$600 just to get in the stadium.
Wow.
But it's a World Series, man. Like, I mean, it is tougher in baseball because you don't know which game is, you know, going to be the most important.
Yeah, on StubHub.
Like, if you're playing football, like, you could pay, I'd pay $1,000 for a championship game, but you know, like, that's the one game. If you win this, you win the championship.
Yep.
You can go there and win games 3, 4, or 5 and still not win the title, or, you know, lose it and still win the title. Or, like you said, buy game 4 and it be 3-0.
It has the lowest price on StubHub right now. Game 3, $810. That's not even including the fees.
Yeah, don't buy. Well, that's going to be another $200. I will say don't buy. Don't buy them now.
Yeah, including the fees, $1,000. Yeah.
Don't buy them now. Wait till day of. That is going to be just a wild. That is just going to be a wild, like, just the area around there, the Battery.
Yeah, I think some people just go down there not to even go to the game, just hang out.
Well, it's a madhouse itself. Like, it's a disaster there. You'd spend another $500 there just trying to get in and do something. It's fun, though. Right down the road. I might go down there. Just try it out. Be involved with the championship.
No.
Bandwagon.
Yeah.
What a band. That's like the definition of a bandwagon.
Yeah. Okay. What else you got?
It's kind of sickening, I mean, to be honest.
That you're a Reds fan.
Big Reds guy over here.
Well,
I've
never claimed to be a big Reds fan. I've said I jump on the Braves in the playoffs. It's fine.
Exactly.
I think the Braves. I think the Braves fans quasi accept me. Like, not all the way. Not all the way, but they know I'm not out here like claiming to be a real fan. I think that's important. I think it's important. I'm not out here acting like I'm legitimate. I just say, hey, I'm rooting for you guys. I'm going to be down there chopping or anything.
You'll be chopping.
Oh, I guarantee you'll be chopping.
You'll be chopping if you're down there.
That racist anthem they're doing.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't chop. But I hope they win. I got a lot of friends who are Braves fans. I want them to be happy. It's hard to win a championship. It's been, what, 21 years? For the Braves, I guess 22 years, 95.
Been to the World Series?
Well, just since they won it, but I mean, they went to the World Series in 96, right? I mean, it's been that long since they even made it to the World Series, right?
No, they made it in 99.
They made it in 99?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was 22 years since then, and then they won it in 95.
Okay.
Yeah. Is the national audience, I'm assuming, behind the Braves, right? People still hate the Astros, right? Like, is everybody rooting for the Braves, underdog?
Well, the Braves are also a national team because they're on TBS. Like, people all across the country could, like, always watch their game, so that helped build, like, a fan base, kind of like the Cubs with WGN.
Right.
But, yeah, also everyone, like, hates the Astros, so, yeah.
I just was still wondering if that hate was still kind of – still there, honestly.
It's probably not as strong as it was, but, yeah, no, the Braves are still the fan favorite there. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We just talk baseball. World Series is here. What do they call it? The October Classic? What the hell do they call it? Is it October Classic? That doesn't sound right.
I think so.
October Classic? That doesn't sound right, Hayden. But FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking all customers up with a risk-free same-game parlay. Place a same-game parlay bet on Game 1 of the World Series. If you win, cha-ching, keep the cash. If not, they'll refund you in-site credit. Build your parlay your way. Combine all of your favorite bets into one wager for bigger paydays. You could take the money line. Who's going to win? I mean, runs are going to be scored. You could do an alternate run spread, run line. Well, the Braves might lose by less than 3 runs. Okay, take plus 3.5. Eddie Rosario is going to hit a home run. He's a monster. Get those odds. Strikeouts, total bases. You can add them all up, put them together in a same-game parlay to create the odds that you want to get the payout that your heart desires. Eddie Rosario, 2 hits. Braves to win. Probably go under on strikeouts. I'll build you a same-game parlay in time for tomorrow. We love FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook for a reason. They give you fast withdrawals. You can get paid in as little as 2 hours. My friends use it. They love it. We share it. We send pictures together. We ride the same bets. Sometimes we win. Most of the time we lose. But it's fine. We have fun. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, make the most out of October baseball and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app using promo code TALKSPORTS to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. That's promo code TALKSPORTS. One word, TALKSPORTS. Supposed to be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
John, I think what you were looking for was a fall classic.
The fall classic. It was. I told you October did not sound right. And you had the nerve to be like, that's right.
Sounded right.
The Fall Classic.
Fall Classic. That sounds much better. That sounds much better than the October Classic. I knew it wasn't right. I'm pretty jealous. I'm pretty jealous of real Braves fans. Pretty jealous. Now, I'll be there soon. Just wait on me, boys and girls. I'll be there. Give me 2 months before my Titans are playing in February, but just be patient with me. Give me 2 months. What are you shaking your head about?
Guaranteeing? Is that a lock? Titans in the Super Bowl now?
No, it's not a guarantee. It's
guarantees don't mean anything on the show anymore.
They really don't.
And who cares? I mean, yeah, guarantees don't mean anything. How'd you do in your college picks?
Me?
Yeah.
2-3 again. Consistent, though. Very consistent.
But you guaranteed a winning season. It doesn't matter, though, because you can just say and do whatever you want. Nothing ever happens.
Nope.
I would ask about a 4-bet win for me, just because he said he was going to beat me head-to-head, but I guess I went 2-3 as well. So, I mean, maybe I don't get a win there, but he said he was going to beat me, so I don't know if a tie went my way. But these are all stupid anyway, so who cares?
No. I went 5-2.
In college picks?
Look at him.
And that was included in the Coastal Carolina loss. So.
What did you do in NFL? 4-1, 3-2?
3-2.
All right.
Been 4-1 if the...
I don't care about your ifs. No one cares about your
Falcons
ifs.
Falcons hadn't have blown that lead.
No, that does tough. That is tough. But good job about you.
The whole game.
I was proud of my 4-1 NFL week. I was proud of that.
We all had good weeks in the NFL. I think Cam went 3-2 as well.
Yep, so. We all had another winning record. That's 2 weeks in a row. All four of us have had a winning record.
Look at us on the come up.
It's pretty good.
Man.
So that makes me, 7-3 in my last 2 weeks? I'm heating up a little bit. Yep. Heating up a little bit. Just trying to get back to 500, Hodden. Just trying to get back to 500. A damn over. I didn't know. I feel like...
Titans game.
I feel like Kenny Rogers in that one song where he talks about being the greatest and he keeps striking out. He's like, I didn't know I could play defense like that. I didn't know I could pitch like that. That's how I feel about the Titans. Didn't realize we were going to play the best defense in the world. Shut down this offense that everyone had been talking about being unstoppable. Do we have an update on Patrick Mahomes? Did he get hurt on that one play when they took him out? He looked concussed.
They said he was fine.
He passed concussion protocol. Okay.
Well, he got folded up. He got beat up.
He got rocked. And another turnover, too.
Titans defense got a little swag in that front seven, Hayden.
That Harold Landry guy's your best player on defense. You can talk about Jeffrey Simmons all you want. Landry's a beast, man. That dude's dominant.
One hand washes the other. Both hands wash the face. It's fine. Kevin Byard's back to making plays, too. Big Kev. Another punch out. Forcing some turnovers. Maybe a little Cowboys-Titans Super Bowl.
Hey, could you imagine?
No, I can't imagine the Cowboys making the Super Bowl.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. Scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about the Chiefs on them making the playoffs?
They're still going to make the playoffs, man.
Can you say it for certain when we've said that there's 6 spots taken up, though? I mean, you all told me the Bengals, Raiders, Titans, Ravens, and Bills, and
well,
Chargers
are
all there.
I wasn't necessarily saying that. I don't think the Raiders are necessarily a playoff team just because they beat up on 2 bad teams the last 2 weeks.
I mean, they've really only beat up on 5 bad teams.
Did you pick the Eagles this week?
He did. And we went head-to-head on it. I don't know. I should have put it on the board, but I don't know if it did. But again, board bets don't even matter anymore.
Sad. Chiefs will be fine, man. Their schedule's not brutal down the stretch. They dominate this division. They have a lot of division games. It's majority, 5 division games left?
Can you still say they dominate the division? They lost to the Chargers last time they played, and the Raiders beat them in Kansas City last year. So, I mean, I know they had a big run in that division, but it's...
Isn't he have, 4 losses, though, and those are 2 of them? Doesn't he have 4 losses total?
I was going to say, I know they used to at one point, but it seems like it's not necessarily the case right now.
I would feel pretty confident they could sweep the Broncos. And
you think they're going to sweep the Raiders?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah. The Raiders always do this, man. The Raiders always do this.
That's
they're
fine.
Same team as the last 3 years.
That's
they'd
fine.
They're
last
decent.
Last year they beat the Chiefs in
Kansas
City.
Exactly. And then what'd they finish, John? Not in the playoff picture.
I'm not talking about them making the playoffs. I'm just simply talking about them sweeping the Chiefs. Although, I mean, I think the Chiefs, who are now 3-4, so that was their 4th loss, right?
Yes.
They still play the Packers,
okay.
The Cowboys,
yep.
A road game at the Chargers. A road game at the Bengals, which all of a sudden kind of looks like a tough game. The Raiders twice. Those are six teams right now that we think are playoff teams, right? Or six teams that are at least, you know, with the and that's not even counting the Steelers as a tough game, which I don't think it is anymore. But the Bengals are 5-2. The Raiders are 5-2. The Cowboys are what, 5-1?
Mm-hmm.
Packers are what, 6-1? Those are all teams right now that look pretty good. Now, you can argue about the Raiders, and I kind of agree with you, but I do think they have a chance of being them once at least. But they, what number do you think you have to get to in the AFC to be a playoff team? 9-8? Is that going to be good enough?
Probably not. I'd say 10-7.
Right. So 10-7, they got
maybe room not even 10-7 when you think about it. I mean, it is pretty loaded.
The teams last year were 11-5. Now, granted, I mean there was seven spots last year too, right?
So
I
mean, yeah, there was.
So, I mean, like they were 11-5. And right now that defense can't stop anybody. So again, the Packers and Cowboys, now both in Arrowhead.
Let's just assume they lose those two games. That would be what, 6? You could afford what, one more loss after
to get
that?
10-7. And that's with at LA, at Vegas, home for Vegas, Steelers, and at Bengals.
At Bengals.
And
yeah,
at Broncos, week 18. So I mean that I don't think that'll be a tough game, but who knows? It ain't very easy for the Chiefs moving forward, is just all I'm getting at. And they're running out of, you know, wiggle room. They're running out of wiggle
room. So if you had to bet right now, you'd say no playoffs. Not making it.
If I was I don't know which way I would bet, but if I'm setting the line, I probably got yes as like a -130 favorite.
Not making the playoffs.
No, yes. To make the playoffs, -130. Okay. So I mean, like, I'd still say they're more likely than not to make it, but it's like I said, they're running out of wiggle room. And that might just be because they're a public team that we're scared of. Like, if we're actually looking at the actual numbers, they should be lower. Because this team's not doing anything well right now.
No.
The Raiders have a tough schedule, too, the rest of the year. I mean, they play the Giants out of their bye week. But, like, other than that, they play, like, Chiefs, Bengals, Cowboys. Football teams, easy game.
Okay.
Chiefs, Browns, Broncos, Colts, Chargers.
I mean, I do think you're going to have to – I do think after last night, if I'm looking at the AFC playoff picture, I might be a little worried if I'm just trying to compete with the Colts for a wild card spot. Because even if they lose to the Titans on Sunday, which they're going to, they'll beat the Jets and Jaguars at home. They'll be 5-5. And then the rest of their schedule, I mean, is manageable, where they should have the floor get to 9-8. The Browns, I mean, it depends on what we think of them, I guess. Like, Baker's health matters, but we were just talking about them being one of the best teams in the league 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now, you know, we're riding them out of the playoff picture already?
I don't know. Like you said, Baker's health, though, man. If he's on 100%, there's no way, right? You couldn't.
Sure.
I mean.
The actual line on FanDuel right now for the Chiefs to make the playoffs is still heavily in their favor. It's -215. Wow. I think the plus.
That's crazy, right? It's just like, how many games did they lose until we finally are like, okay, they're not good. Like, that's the thing.
I think, like, it's wild to me. The Colts, we're just talking about, are right next to them. They are +142 to make the playoffs. The Chiefs are -215 to make the playoffs. I don't see the discrepancy there. I don't see the discrepancy being that big there. Because you can talk about the Titans being in their division, but hell, I mean, the Chargers look pretty good, too, and the Raiders are 5-2. There's two teams they're chasing there.
Yep.
And the Colts, like you said, they have to still play the AFC East. Like,
and they still got four games against the AFC South when you're looking at just the Texans and Jaguars, right? Or they play the Texans once, maybe.
They already beat the Texans.
Yeah, they beat the Texans.
They put them once.
Time.
So yep. you get both games against the Jaguars and one more Texans game. The Raiders are -132 to make the playoffs. Chargers are -380. If you're just looking like kind of in that division.
I guess that's because they have the tiebreaker right now over the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah. And just people like that Chargers team. Titans are -2,000 to make the playoffs, which seems a little absurd. -2,000 seems steep, but. You know, we're starting to run out of playoff spots is what I'm getting at.
Can't forget about the Patriots, too. I mean, they're a game under 500, win a couple in a row. They're right there in the picture.
Well, the Patriots are going to have some chances. You know, they play the Colts later in the season. That could be a game where you could, you know, maybe win a tiebreaker. But the Patriots, I want to say, don't they – I guess they got the Jets. They're 3-4.
play the Chargers next.
They go at Chargers, game. At Panthers, home for Browns, teams. Out Falcons. Like, that's a pretty big four-game stretch that I say they have to go at least 3-1 in. Get to 6-5, then you have a home game against the Titans, at the Colts, home for the Bills.
Their schedule's pretty tough, isn't it?
Jaguars and at Dolphins. So it's really, really tough for them. But Mac Jones did look good, but again, it was the Jets. And I'm not even saying that like dismissively of the Jets because my team lost. So I'm just saying that the Patriots own the Jets. There's just like a mental block there. Like they're
yeah.
The AFC race looks pretty fun. So you still feel confident the Chiefs are making the playoffs?
Yeah, I would still put them in. I don't think the Raiders are a playoff team. Kind of still have a little bit of doubts about Cincinnati, just a little bit.
I think Cincinnati is going to be good. I think Cincinnati is going to be good enough to win 9 games. I am ready to forfeit that board bet. That was.
Didn't I? Yeah, that was me. I made that bet, didn't I? How about it?
You did. So luckily for me, it won't count as a loss because your bets are null and void and don't matter because you don't pay your punishments, but I don't want to talk about it. But if you're the Bengals, like you're looking around and you just probably need to find 9 wins, that might get tougher. You got the Jets, though, this upcoming week. You should get to 6-2, and then, you know, you're going to have pretty much a tough game or at least a solid game against everyone else. Browns, Raiders, Steelers, Chargers, Niners, Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, Browns. So, like, no layups there outside after the Jets. But they look legit, and Mixon looks good as a running back. Jamar Chase looks like a stud, and Burrow looks good. So there's reasons for optimism for sure.
Their offensive line's better than I thought it would be, especially since they didn't take that tackle.
Well, they made a bet that the tackle they had taken the year before that got hurt.
Jonah Williams.
Yeah, Alabama. That he would come back and be, you know, basically like getting a first-round tackle back. They made that bet, and that's why they didn't take Sewell. And it looks like they were right, and Burrow really hasn't gotten beat up too bad, it seems, since the Chicago game? Or
Yeah, week two. Or
he threw a bunch of
picks.
What was the one he had?
Packers game.
Packers beat the hell out of him, too, so never mind. Whenever he stays upright, they're pretty good on offense.
Yep.
On the flip side of the NFC, you kind of got some top-heavy teams.
Yeah, the wild card picture is going to be kind of ugly in the NFC, isn't it?
The
bottom two teams could be like 8-9, maybe. Yep.
There's a huge. You got, what, 5 teams at 5-1 or better? And then the next best are like the Saints and Vikings and Falcons and Bears and Panthers. And you're just like, ugh, these teams all kind of stink. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. You said you got a college football coaching search update on us, which, by the way, Texas Tech's coach got fired. What the hell did he get fired for?
I don't know. He's only been there for 3 years. Did they get – who'd they get beat by Saturday?
I don't know.
Either way. So, Carson Palmer. I don't know. Carson Palmer, how much would he know about the USC job? Probably a lot, right? Heisman winner. I mean –
Yeah.
What's he doing nowadays, by the way? Is Carson Palmer on any media? Is he on any shows, anything like that?
Not that I've seen.
Either way. So he tells Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show, the front runners for the USC job include James Franklin.
That makes sense. I think we all kind of know that.
Yep. Iowa State's Matt Campbell. I guess Matt Campbell getting a big top 10 win puts his name back at the top of some head coaching searches.
I understand, but it to me just doesn't make sense that he would go and like thrive in Hollywood. He seems like a bad cultural fit.
Yeah. I agree. Cincinnati's Luke Fickell.
Matt Bone, or Mike Bone, excuse me, with a tie to him. He hired him at Cincinnati. He's the AD at USC, so that makes sense from that regard. Cincinnati, you could probably sell because, you know, they finished top, 7-8 in the country last year, and then following it up with another.
About to make the playoffs. They're going to be a playoff team.
Looks like they're going to be a playoff team.
And then the last name, NFL head coach, Steelers, Mike Tomlin. Those are the apparent front runners for the USC job.
I think the Mike Tomlin thing's got legs to it. I told you last week he had been linked to LSU. Now he's linked to USC. Both of those, I think, just make a lot of sense. I mean, I think Mike Tomlin would thrive at both of those situations. I think he'd be a really good college coach.
I don't think he'd be a bad college coach, but, like, why would he leave? Why would you leave Pittsburgh? I get, possibly rebuilding, but, like, his job security is just, like, so big right now in Pittsburgh. They've had 3 head coaches in their history, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three? Like, they're not going to fire Mike Tomlin. He could have, I think, two or three bad seasons and still be pretty secured.
But
you have
Mike
two or
Tomlin,
three bad seasons with USC, and all of a sudden you're the next guy getting thrown out on the streets. Like, really? That's how it goes. And he's not going to get – I think if you go fail in college, like, it's a little bit less likely you can just come back to the NFL and just be right back to a head coaching job. I think that's tough. Especially USC when there might be drama behind it. It's all publicized. It's all over the news.
I think I would rather go to LSU than USC.
I would too.
But I would probably not want to coach against Nick Saban. The SEC's tougher or whatever. But like, I think that the recruiting grounds in Louisiana and the fact that we've seen Ed Orgeron and Les Miles win national championships there, I would feel like I have the confidence to go do that. I mean, you say he doesn't have a hot seat, and that's probably true. But keep in mind, he has no playoff wins since 2016. That's 5 years. And he's been there surprisingly long. How long? Do you know how long he's been at Pittsburgh, like year-wise?
2006, 7?
2007. Like, it just seems crazy to see, like, since 2015, or for it to be 15 years.
That is wild, isn't it?
Just to see it laid out like that. 15 years.
Too much risk involved. Too much risk. Too much pressure.
Three playoff wins since 2010.
He's still not on a hot seat, though. Like, he's still going to get fired after this year. He's never had a losing season. Like Ben gets hurt, even when they have injuries, they have issues. They're consistently right there.
If they
man.
Go 7-10, is he on the hot seat going into next year?
No. I don't think so. I mean,
okay, well, maybe not. If you're Mike Tomlin, do you want to go through a rebuild if you don't really?
You keep saying rebuild, rebuild. Your best player is maybe the best pass rusher in the NFL. Like, you just drafted a running back who you expect to be a stud. Your receivers are all young. And, yeah, offensive line needs
all
some work,
and
a quarterback needs some work. Chase Claypool is somebody you could work with. Deontay Johnson, if he can maybe quit being so ridiculous off the field.
Not a building found. Like, Chase Claypool is not attracting anybody to come play with him. He's not that.
That's fine, he's a decent receiver, sure. And he's young. He's got a bright future. Again, you draft a couple offensive linemen, you fix the quarterback situation, and you're right back in the.
How do you fix the quarterback situation?
Well, that's the $1 million question. I am no NFL GM, so
if you're Mike Tomlin, that's to me the question I'm worried about, and I don't know how we're going to do it. And
I feel like there's a lot of teams who are saying that though. Like, trades could happen. God, who knows who could be available next year? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. We've talked about this. There could be 100 names available, and then who knows? Some rookie stud. Hayden even said, Kenny Pickett, pick guy. Might not feel great about it. You never know how it could work out, though.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin, I'm sticking around for Chase Claypool and Kenny Pickett. Good point by you. That's what I'm going
to
do.
To go
never
do
mind,
what? To go.
I can live in Hollywood and coach USC.
Yeah, go live in Hollywood and get bashed the whole time like every USC has done since Pete Carroll has been there.
Or maybe be a savior. They would have said the same thing about the Alabama job before Nick Saban turned it into something big. Or maybe I just stay in Pittsburgh and just, flame out and get fired. And
again, he would have at least two, maybe three years where he would feel, I think, pretty damn safe. Pittsburgh doesn't fire head coaches. They don't.
I know, but he's been there for 15 years. He's won zero playoff games in five. They're not going to win this one. They're not going to win one this year. They're not going to win one next year.
Quarterback away. What if Aaron Rodgers goes there, John? What if Russell Wilson goes there? And I feel like Mike Tomlin's an appealing coach, too.
I think if Russell Wilson went to Pittsburgh, it would be just like Seattle.
At least he got a better defense.
I mean, that's fine, but like, I don't think the roster is as good as you're acting, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But
Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, those are two.
Fitzpatrick was great as the worst safety just like 2 weeks ago. I don't know if he's bounce back since then.
Again, it's not like everybody's 35 years old and they're just an old beat-up veteran team. They got a bad quarterback. I would say bad quarterback and a below-average offensive line is the reasons the Steelers are going to be bad this year.
Sure.
And those are things you can fix really just in the draft. You draft two offensive linemen and a quarterback.
Sure.
Boom.
Simple as.
It really is.
Simple as.
And Pittsburgh's a well-ran organization. Like, I feel like they're going to make the right moves. It'd be fun. They'd be a playoff team next year. go to USC. Yeah, yeah. Go to USC, Tomlin. Tell me how it is when you're fired in 4 years like every other USC coach. Go to LSU. And like you said, live under Nick Saban and Alabama's thumb. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Hasn't Helton been given 7 years?
He was not there 7 years.
You sure about that?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm pretty sure he's been there maybe even longer than that. Since 2013, 8 years. He got 8 years at USC.
Did he really?
Well, let's see. No, I guess he was the interim coach 1 year. So 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and they gave him to 21. So they gave him 7 years. He got fired in his seventh year. I don't think the problem at USC was they weren't patient with Clay Helton. They gave him plenty of opportunities.
He had, pretty much one good season, right? When they went to the Rose Bowl with Darnold, was that, 17?
Next year they went 11-2, okay. Lost in the Cotton Bowl.
I don't remember that. Who'd they play in the Cotton Bowl?
2019, they went 8-5. Last year in COVID, they went 5-1. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, basically only 2 years. So it wasn't like he had a lot of success, and they were pretty patient with him, so I think you're overstating.
You think they're going to be just as patient? Like, Mike Tomlin's not an interim head coach. He's a guy that's won, who's had success. He's a winner.
I think they'd be more patient.
They'd be less patient. I think they'd expect, hey, Tomlin's going to come in. We'll be good here in 3 or 4 years when he figures out how to recruit.
I think he would win there, though, is a thing.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.